Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome once again to a new episode of Absolute Truth, Absolutely, ATA for short. This is your host, Gio, Youth Leader for Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. Recently, I heard a phrase that is commonly uttered in our generation, in our day and age. And it seems like the implication when this particular sentence is spoken is to showcase some sort of wanting, some sort of desire on behalf of people to trust in this untrustable entity. What does the phrase sound like? Well, it goes something like this. Polls are showing that more than ever before, public distrust in government is at an all-time high. And I've always said of such distrust that it is a healthy thing. It is a good thing. Someone might ask, Gio, please explain. Is there such a thing as a healthy distrust? Because I've always thought, I've always believed that distrust is a bad thing. We should never distrust. Well, when you have a biblical point of view, when you have adopted what you find in Scripture, you understand that there is nothing inherently good in man. What there is pure debauchery, pure evil. Sure, there are shades of God's goodness, because since we are created in His image and His likeness, you do see that there are remnants of that, even in many sinners. We're not saying they're Christians, we're saying that God's goodness, God's purity, His benevolence, if you will, is demonstrated in many people because there's still a remnant of that. Sin didn't completely wipe that out when it was introduced into the world, into the universe by our parents, Adam and Eve. Nevertheless, we have also seen the depths to which human beings can descend to once given over, completely handed over, if you will, to evil. We need a Savior. Thus, Jesus Christ. He shows us the way. The incarnate God comes to us, shows us how to live, and dies and resurrects for our sins so that we can once again have that reestablished relationship with our Creator, which was damaged. It was damaged goods when Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning. All was perfect up until that point. In theology, we know that as the age of innocence, especially if you're a dispensationalist of sorts. Having said all that, I think it's important for us to look again at this particular subject matter of trust. You know, even Ronald Reagan, famous president, had a famous saying called trust but verify. Some people might say, well, I know the implication of the phrase that even though he would say, I trust, but I still have to verify. Yet the sagacious president, he was obviously a wise man, a learned individual, and he knew that even though it was important to trust certain figures, maybe mom, dad, your sister, brother, maybe immediate friends or whatnot, you always knew that inside, human beings have this silver, you know what, that's the wrong phrase. I was about to say silver lining. Usually that's a good thing. There's a what we would call a little pool or some sort of evil lurking that you always have to verify so that you would be safe from any vicious attacks, anything that would personally damage you or be of a nuisance, a personal nuisance. So it's important that we know who to trust, where to place that trust. Some people, you know, some Christians who normally reach for the cliche books say, trust in God. But I've lost count of how many Christians, even myself, I've said that before. And at that point, I didn't believe it. I would just say it to sound like a Christian, making me a hypocrite. And I admit that now. But many Christians still do this. And the truth is that we don't trust in God. We could say it, it sounds nice, and we can try to make other people believe that we're trusting in God when we're not. We are not placing our absolute trust on God Almighty for our sustenance. I mean, think about it. When you think about Abraham, who was told, leave the land that you're currently inhabiting, leave the household of your parents to the place that I will show you. I mean, you think about it, he had to desert these things. He had to leave them behind. He had to take a step of faith. A literal step of faith. And he did. And God honored him for it. Job, same thing. We find the same thing in the life of Paul. and so many other biblical figures, these people, you can tell that they trusted in God. David himself, I mean, when you get a chance, please read Psalms 52, 56. You'll find that David speaks about trust like no other biblical persona. He talks about trust in God continually and consistently. That even though his enemies were at the gates, he always trusted in God. Think about it. David was being chased down by Saul, his father-in-law, looking to kill him. He's hiding out in a cave. Lo and behold, what does David say? I will rest. I will put my head to sleep and I will rest peacefully because I have confided. I have trusted in you, O God. Who says that from a cave? Seriously? From a deserted cave? Who says that? A person who has trusted in God. So when I constantly hear of people talking about trust in government, trust in others, I think it's healthy to distrust these entities that you know that they exist. They're a necessary evil, if you will, like many of the founders call it. It's a necessary evil, but nevertheless, it's also very important, vital, for us to understand that it's important to have a healthy distrust of certain organizations, groups, even ourselves. Even ourselves. I'll give you an example of this. Many years ago, the church, and I don't know if you've heard these phrases before, but for example, the moral majority and other groups, they were fomented in order to become part of the political discussion. And the church shifted from ideologies. It said at one point, the gospel is more than enough to bring about social change. It's a secondary effect of the gospel. The gospel is God saving sinners. God incarnate saving sinners. That's the gospel, if you want to put it in a small phrase. Slowly but surely, that has changed. The church said, let us become involved in political affairs so that we can bring about change in the society. Therefore, we have negated and even denied the efficacy and the life-changing powers of the gospel. And we placed that trust no longer in God through the gospel, but now we placed it on government. We said, these men, these politicians are the key to change society. And lo and behold, what do we have now? Homosexual marriage. And even in Oklahoma, I don't know if you've heard the news now, there are Satanists trying to erect a Baphomet, a Satanist monument to honor Satan right next to the Ten Commandments. I thought we were supposed to enjoy separation from church and state. But lo and behold, when Christians went to the government and said, it is important for us to showcase that this nation is a Christian nation, that we start displaying signs of Christianity all over the place, lo and behold, you open the door, because our Constitution very clearly says in the First Amendment that there will be no national establishment of religion. The government will make no laws. The same thing happened with marriage. We went to the government. We said, define marriage for us, when God had already defined it thousands of years ago. And we asked government to define marriage for us. Lo and behold, now the government says, we've had a change of heart. We've changed our tune. Now homosexuals can be married also. Because since we are the definers of everything that is morality, because you Christians gave us the power to legislate it, oh, well, here it is. Do you see what happens when we buck our responsibilities? When we negate our responsibilities as Christians and we stop confiding in God through the gospel? We stop confiding in Him and we start placing our trust in things that in the long run, they come back to bite us. They come back to arise against and attack our very own interests. We said of the individual responsibility of preaching the gospel, enough of that. I don't want that anymore. Just let's let the government deal with it. So all of this has happened and more. The same thing happens in spiritual terms. The gospel itself has suffered a redefinition of sorts in our day and age. Instead of it being God reuniting with man and God offering man eternal salvation through the sacrifice of his son Jesus, what we have now is the gospel is health, wealth, prosperity. And everything that is material is of the utmost importance. Forget that other stuff. Forget eternality, that stuff. Forget eternity. It's not important. What's important is the here and now. And yet I read in the Bible that the love of money is the root of all evil. I read in the Bible that those that have placed their trust in money and riches, these will suffer the biggest falls. Those that trust in men, they're also going to suffer the biggest catastrophes. Because even Jesus himself tells you that there is not a single good person on earth, even though you hear many Christians even say the phrase, there are good people. You know, these are good people. I believe generally these are good people. You constantly hear that phrase uttered over and over again. There's no such thing as a good person. Even the best of the best out there, excluding Jesus, of course, the best of the best person will commit an atrocity, either personal or that it will feel, you know, those ramifications will be felt whether at a family level or much greater than that. The ripple effect, if you will, others will feel it. I mean, this is such a vast subject matter that we could delve into this for days, for programs on end. But I just want to stick to the essentials. Who do you trust? That's the question I have for you. Who do you trust? And it is a good thing, it's a healthy thing to have a certain amount of distrust in governmental entities, other groups. I'm not talking about distrust to the point where now you are suspecting everyone of evil. You know, the Bible goes on to say that the evil man, and I'm paraphrasing here, the evil man suspects everyone else of evil because he thinks, just like he thinks that way he is, that's the way he is. In other words, since he's evil, he thinks everybody else is just as evil as he is, so therefore, he conducts his affairs in evil because he thinks everyone else will try to do the same thing that he would do to others. If that did not make sense, rewind the podcast episode, please. But that's the truth. So it's necessary to have a certain healthy amount of distrust even in yourself because you know what you're capable of. You know what other people are capable of. Doesn't mean that you can't love. Does not mean that you can't extend yourself in love to other people. Jesus did it. I mean, Jesus hung on a cross for crying out loud. And all those people that he had healed, all those people that he had brought the gospel to, all those people that he had loved, all those people that he had done something in their favor, where were they? Where were they? Many of them were screaming to the top of their lungs, crucify him, and were mocking him on that cross. And yet Jesus did not say, Father, wipe this earth clean with these bastards. Yes, I'm using the typical, some people might call it foul language. But you know what? That's what we would say in our humanity. But Jesus, being a human being also, didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what do? Well, you live life, but you live life trusting in God. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:4. And we have trust through Christ unto God. Here he's defending his apostleship towards the Corinthian people. And he says his sufficiency comes from God. He trusted in God utterly. That is the key word, utterly, completely. And 1 Timothy 4:10, and I'm going to paraphrase again. He says, this is why we suffer persecutions. This is why we suffer being tormented. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Trust in God. Don't trust in man. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust your own abilities. Besides your abilities, those abilities that you say that you trust so much, they were given to you by God. All this goes back to God. Trust in him. Your decisions will be better. Your life will be greatly, vastly improved because of that improved trust that you now have in the creator of the universe, who the Bible says is the father of lights, and there is no shadow of turning. There's no variation or shadow of turning in him, and that every good gift, every perfect gift, listen to the phrase, perfect gift comes from above, descends from above, from the father of lights. He's pure. He's clean. There is no sin in him. So why would he do something against you? Why would he try to perform some sort of evil task against your person? When he is perfect, he is pure, he is benevolent in every single one of his ways. Trust in him who is perfect. He's perfect. Why wouldn't you want to put your trust in that which is perfect versus that which is imperfect? It makes no sense. But yet many Christians and many people still do that. They place their trust in imperfect places instead of depositing that trust, if you will, in God, who is perfect. That's my exhortation for today. Hopefully you take this and you adopt it. Don't let this podcast go by and you say to yourself, that was nice. Adopt it. Go to your word. Go to the Bible. Read these things. Adopt these verses. Start to live life according to what is found in Scripture. And trust me, put my head in a guillotine and I won't lose it. My hand, my fingers, whatever the case may be. You will not lose it. I will not lose it. If you begin to trust God, truly trust God, you will see a great improvement in your life. Spiritually first, over all things, of course, and even in the material sense, because God will teach you, His Word will teach you how to make better decisions, how to maximize your time, for example, how to make better use of your money. All of these things is found in the Scriptures, but only if you trust in God. Thank you for downloading this podcast. I just urge you, I implore you to share this with your friends, with your family members, so that they too can also know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. This has been Gio for our podcast, LWIM's podcast, Absolute Truth, Absolutely. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at gio@lwim.org. And if you're in the vicinity of the Miami area, please visit us every single Friday night at 8 p.m. once we celebrate our Friday night youth meetings. 8 p.m. and we are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida, zip code 33133. Also, visit our website for the latest goodies on all things LWIM, lwim.org. Until the next occasion, may the Lord shine His face upon you.